Hello, six pack of confidence. Been so many nights since we first met. Glad to see you brought all your friends for another night of Plastic Cup Politics.
Hey, guess what, guys? On the episode of Plastic Cup Politics that came out today, on the 8th of this new year, 2020, we decided, remember, because it came out today, I said, hey, guys, subscribe, because we don't know when these things are going to come out. Guess what? It's coming out right now, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to Plastic Cup Politics Podcast. I'm your host, Mark LaRue. He is Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD. Guess what? I think that we averted World War III for now, but we're still doing another podcast. You can interact with the show at Plastic Cup Pod on all your favorite social media sites. However you are listening to this, like I said, hit subscribe. It's going to be fun. Going to get all this great information. And this is an Arizona-based politics podcast. We do a little bit of drinking or whatever we do to expand our minds. I don't know what Sean's doing this today, but we'll figure that out right now. When I say Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, it's been 2 days. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I actually tonight I just forgot to go to the store and grab myself a decent beer. So it's a Durban Poison night for me again.
Cool. I busted out something kind of special for no apparent reason other than I didn't have anything else I really wanted to drink from the brewery in San Diego. Just called Brewery. They're Chiro Rosé. I'm going to go with a Chiro Rosé. It's a sour blonde ale aged in oak barrels. It's the 2015 version, so it's been hanging around for a little while. And it's aged very well. It's nice. I like it a lot. So, I believe that what we're here for is to discuss how we avoided World War, whatever. I'm going to give my update from what I know and throw in some extra little particles here and there since we recorded last, which was 2 days ago. Crazy. Dr. Sean Hayes did say we're going to have to do this again real soon, and here we are. So Iran struck back, and they sent more than a dozen missiles into a compound in Iraq that housed U.S. soldiers. It looks like they purposefully missed anybody, but just wanted to say, hey, look, assholes, look what we can do. Then an airliner went down after leaving Tehran, which everything is saying that it was just a plane crash, guys.
Yeah. But
Jesus Christ.
Super weird.
That sparks some conspiracies. I saw something, and here's where online doesn't help with stuff. I saw there was like an earthquake also. I saw something about like a 4.5
in Iran.
In Iran, yeah.
Oh yeah, that would be super normal for that region though. They have fucking earthquakes all the time.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Likely coincidence, yeah. But yeah, the airliner, even though every bit of evidence says that it is also a coincidence, man, I would not be surprised to find out otherwise. Because that's just weird.
The funeral for the general that everybody hated so much, there was a stampede, and I believe 50 people died at the funeral procession.
Yeah, sucks.
That's fucking rough. That's like 11 Who concerts.
How many Altamonts would that be?
Yeah. After last night, when Iran fought back, shot those missiles, then we were waiting for the president, Donald Trump, to speak today, this morning, and I actually was up and was able to witness it, and it was standard Donald Trump kind of showboating, but he said that we are going to impose sanctions because Iran seemed to say, we don't want to escalate a war, we think that we should de-escalate, we want to shoot some missiles at you guys to show that, you know, we're not pussies, we'll smile back. So I text Sean, yay, no war, and he's like, well, now we look like pussies, so... Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, now you can take over.
Yeah, so hopefully I didn't phrase it exactly that way, but...
Paraphrasing.
So, yeah. Well, so having telegraphed weakness once again is not, from a national security perspective, could prove troublesome, which is what I was trying to say earlier. Not necessarily that it's inherently bad in and of itself that we looked weak. De-escalation is ultimately a good thing. It's just a matter of finding a path to de-escalation that is in line with... So if you lack all credibility to begin with, and even his supporters at this point admit that he lies about everything, as does the rest of his administration, and then you use incredibly inflammatory, threatening language, right? And then when your opponent does what you told them they absolutely could not do, or you would bomb 52 preset sites, some of which were of cultural significance, you then say, all right, no, we're good. It sends a message to that enemy and others around the world, right, that, okay, so perhaps he is more hot air than not, right? And then boundaries start to get pushed. And it's, again, not that the problem isn't that suddenly we're going to have a bunch of Iranian irregulars or, you know, proxy forces in certain terrorist organizations killing everyone in America. It's that, you know, it could encourage some of those forces to strike in ways that then necessitates a more robust retaliation, and we're back on the escalation ladder. Not that I think we are actually off the escalation ladder at this point. And that was the other sort of significant thing, I think, about what happened, is that both leaders, while declaring de-escalation, also issued additional threats, right? So on the Iranian side, you've got the foreign minister saying, you know, our proportionate response has now concluded, but the rest of the country's leadership echoing a message from Khamenei himself that their revenge will cease when U.S. forces have left the region entirely. Right. And by that, you can reasonably assume that he actually means Iraq and Syria. And those are two fights he could potentially win, right? Because he doesn't have to beat us on the battlefield. He just has to get the sponsors of those countries to tell you to leave, or to tell us to leave, right?
I mean, we already started doing it ourselves in Syria, so
well,
halfway there.
And we sent the Iraqis a letter saying we were going to do it there, too. And their
that was a draft.
Yeah,
that was a draft. We didn't mean that one. It was still under workings. You know, sometimes you hit that enter button when you don't mean to, where you say, hey, yeah, if you guys want us to leave, we'll take off.
But the Iraqi response was the best, though. Right. So they asked a senior leader in the Iraqi government, OK, so, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so have said that the letter was a mistake. And their response was, we don't govern by tweet. We will proceed according to the legal, to the actual document or the official letter that we've been sent. And you also find out, by the way, that did we mention on the last podcast that they requested a new draft because the first translation was bad and they received a new draft?
No, we did not.
Yeah, kind of makes it hard to say you sent it on accident when you send it. The person who receives it says, this doesn't really mean what you think it means, and you then have it retranslated and send it again. That kind of sounds intentional. The main reason that I wanted to jump on and record something brief about today's events is because actually, while they seem momentous, I think they are actually not of tremendous significance. This isn't the end of this drama, it's the beginning. So the next step on the escalation ladder will most likely be the imposition of additional sanctions by the U.S. government, right? The next step after that, depending on how those sanctions are received domestically in Iran, could either be perhaps a cyber attack on the United States, or they pressure the Iraqis to follow through on their threat to make the Americans leave. That latter ultimately ends at open war between the two countries, if anyone was wondering where we're climbing to. So we are by no means off the escalation ladder. We have proceeded to the next rung. There was some uncertainty about what the next rung might look like, or if we were going to jump several rungs the way we did when he decided to vaporize the second most important leader in Iran. But it looks like we proceeded in sort of the most incremental fashion that we could. The Iranians didn't seem to actually aim to miss, but they loaded the missiles with sort of warheads that were designed, the warheads that were unlikely to cause significant loss of human life unless they scored just a catastrophically good hit, right, for the Iranians.
So they basically have rockets filled up with rock salt?
Yeah, pretty much. And they have much more lethal ordnance that they can attach to those missiles. So the purpose was to demonstrate here, we can hit you. And the next time we won't load them with just, you know, normal high explosive warheads, right? It's also worth noting that they notified the Iraqi government in advance that they were going to launch those missiles. And there's some uncertainty about whether the Iraqi government directly notified the Americans, us, or whether just the departure of Iraqi troops was enough of a warning that our troops were able to take cover. Otherwise, there may actually have been some loss of life. Because you can see in the aerial photo, by the way, there was a direct hit on a barracks at one of the bases.
It does seem weird. I mean, I guess it doesn't seem weird, but it does seem weird to me that Iraq is okay with one of their bases being bombed in their country by a foreign power. I mean, I know that they're simpatico, as you say, you know, they're, I forget the word that you kept using, a client of.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't be pretty pissed if Canada launched a missile into a base in the United States that house soldiers from someplace else. I mean, it does seem weird. Like there was one of the senators from somebody somewhere saying that right now we have an Iranian attack on an Iraqi base.
Well, keep in mind, of course, that with that warning, they got the Iraqi soldiers out of the way. So it was an attack on Americans or allied forces, because there were other countries that also stationed troops at both of those bases.
So when Trump says he's going to increase sanctions, like what else can they sanction? It seems like, you know, we were already under maximum pressure. Are we now under maximum pressure? Like,
yeah, well, that's it's one kind of the like dangers of constantly bloviating and using hyperbolic language is that you paint yourself into these corners. I'm sure there are additional areas of sort of economic productivity in Iran that we can target for sanction. We haven't hit everything yet. How much additional damage could actually be done remains to be seen. I do want to back up, though, because the question that you raised about is this an Iranian attack on an Iraqi base? No, because the Iraqis have been emptied out of it. And also no, because let's not forget, Qasem Soleimani wasn't the only person who died in that airstrike. So what was actually happening was Iranians were calling and giving them advance notice. Hey, we're going to smack the Americans and we're doing it on your behalf as well. And the Iraqis went right on.
We'll be over here if you need us.
Yep.
Outside of the base.
Yep. I'm glad that no one died. That's awesome. And it was partially intentional on the part of the Iranians. They still couldn't guarantee that someone wouldn't have been killed in those strikes. And if someone had, they wouldn't have been devastated about it. But it worked out for the best that they did it the way that it did, and there wasn't any loss of life at this point. But our listeners should be well aware that this is far from over.
Do you see the trajectory? Do you see Iran acting in a better way over what has happened in the last 10 days? Do you think
No.
that has changed their trajectory?
No, not in the slightest. In fact, it's probably made it more likely that we'll see additional attacks by Iranian clients, Shiite militia in Iraq, as well as militia in Syria potentially, and then Hezbollah elsewhere. And the Israelis aren't out of the woods either. As one of the sort of near at hand targets that they know can also hurt the United States. So not only are we not off the escalation ladder, but there's also still there's a very significant chance that we could see, sort of not entirely sanctioned action from some of Iran's irregular allies.
That was the breaking news do, 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 of Plastic Cup Politics podcast. Hopefully I'll get that out real soon. In case you didn't hear it on the last one, I am DJing Prescott Public House Thursday, tomorrow. Hopefully I'll get this out. It'll be today. Hopefully it'll be when you're listening to this, it might even be tonight. I'm over at the Spirit Room in Jerome on the 10th Friday, and then Cottonwood at State Bar on Saturday. Woo! Lots of stuff going on in this side of the world. So hope I can get all this out. And Dr. Sean Hayes, PhD, we're going to talk again soon. We don't know when, so keep updated at Plastic Cup Pod and make sure you're subscribed.
And if you're looking for a good read, try Stalking White Crows by Jack Crittenden.
There you go. There's your homework for until we speak again.
All right.
Later, guys.
Later on. Whoa!